We're talking today with Dr. Mark Lang, of course, with the National Cotton Council. Mark, you know, 2015, a lot of farmers are starting to try to get their arms around this 14 farm law. Decisions be made. And, of course, for cotton producers, the safety net really revolves around stacks.
That's right. And cotton, of course, is much different than the other crops. There's no option on cotton to enroll in ARC or PLC. We're not eligible for that. It's an insurance product sold by the private insurance companies, but it does have an 80% premium subsidy, and the idea is it's a shallow loss program. Growers can buy it on top of their buy-up coverage, but it is an area-wide product as well, so it's something that growers need to be sure they understand and have a pretty good discussion with their crop insurance agents.
The cotton not participating in the Title I safety net is all the fallout from the WTO case. Is that right?
That's correct. Back in 2009, a panel in the World Trade Organization found that the U.S. program, from the standpoint of the target price, was distortive, and the target price should be removed. So in our program today, we don't have a target price. We have the shallow loss program, and we still have our marketing loan, but we do not have the same price protection that the other crops have.
And in your mind, as far as what the negotiations that we had with the Brazilians, this has pretty well put this case behind us now. Is that correct?
Well, unfortunately, the U.S. signed an agreement with Brazil back this summer that says that there's a peace clause in it that says that the Brazilians will not challenge the current law, but they will reserve the right to challenge what might be in the next farm bill. I think there's concern by the Brazilians that this farm bill's okay, they're all right with, but the next farm bill might try to restore these target prices, and if so, they want the right to challenge that.
Regarding farm bill implementation, you talked about there's a couple areas of real concern you've got right now, and I guess top of the list is that payment limitation.
The payment limit problem is, in my opinion, one of the most significant things facing growers, because our growers turn their cotton over to a cooperative or to a merchant, and they have no idea what kind of marketing loan accumulation is being charged against their payment limit. And USDA today can't tell them. And in my view, that's a critical flaw. And we have been talking to USDA, and I'll tell you, they talk to us, and I think they're attempting to work on it. But the progress is not sufficient, not at all, because growers need to know, come October, exactly where they stand so that they don't get an overpayment on an ARC or PLC on other crops, and then find out 10 months after that that they owe money back that they haven't got. Because in many cases, the grower may be receiving an ARC or PLC payment, but his banker's first in line. The banker's going to take the money, and the grower may owe some of that money back. Well, he's going to get it back from the banker. So my view of this is USDA has an obligation to work on this much harder than I think they're doing right now. I'm really very concerned about the hazard it's going to place cotton growers. Right now, cotton is the only commodity accumulating a marketing loan gain. People that don't grow cotton, then they'll look at their ARC and PLC payments and not get an overpayment. But our guys can. I'm really worried about it.
So the jeopardy, especially in that 2014 year, is very real.
Yes, it is. It's very real. Right now, fortunately, I think most growers out there have at least two entities. So it's not, not just one. The husband and wife are each an entity. But if the marketing loan gain, if China or India does something different here and market prices fall, marketing loan gains could get bigger. And at that point, our growers are all going to be very concerned about this. They should be.
Actively engaged in farming was the other thing you mentioned.
Yes. The Farm Bill directed USDA, the Secretary, to provide an updated definition of active personal management. Active personal management is one of those things that makes you qualified as actively engaged. Focus being that certain members of Congress thought that people that were off the farm might not be providing enough management. and try to limit their eligibility. Well, our view of this is USDA needs to get those rules out well in advance of any sign-up so people understand the rules of which governs their eligibility for program benefits. If they started now to have a comment period and it was to define eligibility for 2015, we're getting right on top of 2015 sign-up. I don't think that's reasonable. I don't think that's reasonable for USDA to think they could get something out, a discussion today for comment period and so forth about any change in any rule and then have it apply to 15. But I'm also just concerned about what are they going to say about it. I think given today's agriculture, someone could be sitting in, you know, Seattle, Washington, and make extraordinary contributions to the farming operations on decisions about pricing inputs and outputs that may, in fact, determine whether there's a profit or loss on that enterprise and never have been on the enterprise itself, never stood on the dirt. Does that mean they didn't contribute? I'm really concerned about this definition.
When we think about, you know, where we are with you know, U.S. cotton in the international marketplace, it seems that the Obama administration has been talking a fair amount about trade. It came up quite a bit in the State of Union address. They're talking a lot about trade promotion authority. How important is TPA to the cotton industry?
Well, the interesting thing for the cotton industry is that when we move raw cotton into the world market, there are only two countries where we face barriers today, and that's India and China. And what two countries today have the highest level of support to their cotton growers? India and China. So it's a real concern for us. We have been pushing at the U.S. Trade Representative's office to be far more aggressive with China and get China to actually notify the WTO the extent of their support mechanisms. They have not done so since 2008. And, of course, I think everybody's aware of the extraordinary support that the Chinese are providing their farmers. The real important aspect of the trade, like TPP, is not so much about what it does in raw cotton, it's what it does in textile products. If TPP does not have a yarn-forward rule of origin, then all this hemispheric trade we do, where we ship yarn and fabric into our CAFTA and NAFTA trade partners, will be damaged. I mean, we could actually see what's left of our textile industry obliterated with a bad rule of origin in the TPP.
Last question, as far as, you know, current state of the industry, What do you really see the cotton industry right now? You've got the perspective of a lot of years under your belt with the Cotton Council. Where are we really right now?
Well, I think we're going into a period of extraordinary uncertainty with a lot of strength. I think there's a high degree of confidence in the cotton organizations that are out there, and they have sound leadership. But I think this whole changeover of no target price protection, no safety net like other crops, into what is very clearly going to be a period of weak commodity prices in general has everybody very nervous, and I don't blame them. I'm very concerned about that part of our farm policy, that we don't have the price protection these other crops do. We could get hurt here.
And you're talking specifically about the producer end of things.
Yes. Yes, the producers are the ones that are going to be bearing this burden of, very clearly, if we see New York stay in the range it's in now, for a lot of producers, it doesn't cover cost of production.
And that is the worry, right?
Yes, it is. Very much so. Yeah.